Welcome to the Center for Internet Security's podcast, Cybersecurity Where You Are. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we are at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or even running a state or local government. Join CIS's Sean Atkinson and Tony Sager as they discuss trends and threats, ways to implement controls and infrastructure, explore best practices, and interview experts in the industry. We are here to bring clarity to these complex issues to bring confidence in the connected world.
Okay, and welcome back to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are, here at RSA Booth 4319. It is the first day of RSA. Matt Everman just completed his presentation on multiple shades of purple teaming, and we'll be talking to him momentarily. So we're here at the booth. We're talking to passers-by, talking to CIS staff, and we'll keep you updated as we go through today and the 3 days of RSA. Matt, how are you, sir?
I am well. I'm well. Recovering.
Recovering. You just completed your talk. Walk us through it. How did it go? What was the main theme and how'd you feel it went?
Sure. Yeah. So my talk was predominantly about purple teaming. It was designed to kind of help people figure out where purple teaming might fit into their organization. And kind of changing the way people think about purple teaming so they're not so rigid in their thinking about like it's got to be a SOC versus a pen tester. It's about expanding what you think it can be and using things you may already be doing or maybe have in your company, because that way you can kind of get the mentality down without having to spend a bunch of extra money or hire a bunch of extra staff. So it was just about, you know, getting started and making purple teaming work for you.
Absolutely. A lot of interest at the end. What kind of questions were you getting about your talk? Is it more implementation or more certain strategies that they had in mind?
Yeah, honestly, it was weird. So a lot of people came up and they were just like, we really like, you know, Center for Internet Security. And that was like the one thing, the one guy just came up to me to tell me that. And I was like, that's cool. But a lot of them were talking to me about very specific things. Like they're saying, hey, I'm trying to roll out the security controls. And I liked the idea that you had for like, hey, how can the security controls play a part in your purple teaming, right, engagements? And so we talked a little bit through that. A couple of people just wanted to talk to me about how they would train their staff when it came to purple teaming. I think people struggle with the concepts were easy. They understood the concepts. It was easy for them to understand what I was saying. More so, it was them thinking about like, okay, here's what I have. What are my options? So I got a lot of those kinds of questions.
Absolutely. Well, it was a brilliant talk. So one of the things we'll ask is how are we going to put this into play at CIS? That's our challenge now, right?
Yeah, it was really funny because a couple of our other staff members were going to be here to see the presentation, but we had some flight delays. And it was funny because one of them was my penetration tester. And I said, bro, you do this every day. But you don't need to come here. Like, you do it. You're half of what I'm going to be talking about. But yeah, a lot of what we're going to be implementing and what we do implement is actually just trying to make it as part of our regular cycle. So part of our engineering cycle, part of our deployment cycle, part of our vulnerability management cycle, right? How are we adding in defenders and attackers perspectives into those things, even when we're not using, right, like SOC people, like I said, penetration testers. One of the examples I liked giving at the presentation today was, you know, if your door lock wasn't working, would it be your penetration tester that found that? Or would it maybe be the person who like checks people in at the front desk because they just notice it's broken, right? In that situation, that person's your red teamer. Maybe they go around and check the other doors, right? And one of the concepts I really tried to instill in people, and we kind of threw this around the office a little bit too, but now that I've set it up in public, I guess we can say it here, right? Getting good at purple teaming is like cheating at Battleship, right? If you do well with purple teaming, it's like you've got a mirror on the other side of the board. You can see what the bad guys are doing. You can kind of make an educated decision about what moves to make next or what to call out, right? So I think a lot of it is just changing the way that we think about it and retraining our brains to understand that this needs to be included in everything we do. So it's no longer a point in time assessment like a penetration test. Now it's cyclical. It's part of our environment. It goes on forever, right?
Absolutely.
So yeah.
No, it was awesome. And I think some of the visions and one of the things you'd mentioned about maturity, right? And that's one of the things we've been tracking, tracing. We get into the point of adversary emulation in our environment. How excited are you for that?
I think it's going to be awesome. Maturity when it comes to purple teaming is very like unique because it can only be mature if your organization is ready for it, right? So like you can't just be like, yeah, like we do all the standard stuff. We do adversary emulation. We do, you know, 6 pen tests a year. We do all this stuff, right? Because if you're not doing anything with that data or you're not being progressive with it, right? then you're not helping yourself at all, right? You have a CTI team who's not reporting anything, then what are you really doing, right? When it comes to adversary emulation, I'm really excited to start going that direction because I think that it's something that we have enough specialists on our team now that we can do it effectively. You can always do it with a tool. You can do it with all these different things, but I think having the human element is really important. And especially as things start to lean into AI, there's going to be a lot of people pitching like AI can do these things for you. I want the human element because it's an integral part of purple teaming, in my opinion. I need that person to hammer on things that we create that are unique to our organization and unique to us and unique to our situation. Because otherwise, who am I purple teaming for? It's not me. Right. So being able to do it in-house, all that stuff is going to be really cool. It's going to be really important. And I think it's going to make a huge shift in the way we integrate purple team into everything, purple teaming into everything that we do.
Agreed. No, absolutely. I think it's next year's talk, to be honest, once we've got through it, is the next level of maturity, right? It's putting us into a position of not only saying it, but practicing and then ultimately getting to that level of maturity where we're, you know, leading some areas in the space. I say the research is going to be very interesting. But the one other thing I wanted to point out was the cross-functional aspect of what you provided today and what actually purple teaming in your structure. Now, remember, your idea of purple teaming is a little bit different than what's been kind of preached before and includes diversity in terms of ideas, critical thinking, and just ultimately an assessment strategy. Where did you come up with that, and why do you think it's so important?
So, it's weirdly, I came up with it by living it. A lot of it comes from relationships that I've built over my career that have shown me things from different perspectives, right? And I brought those things here, and our team was really susceptible, and they were really willing to work through things like that with me. For example, one of the examples that I used was having a GRC team that's threat informed, which a lot of people don't really do. Usually the GRC team, they just tell you what the policy is, or they tell you when there's a violation of the policy and they're hands off. It's not that way where we work. And the last couple of organizations I worked for, I made sure it wasn't that way. I wanted to have a very proactive relationship with those people because what is governance? What is policy? Then best practice. It's basically your blue team skeleton, right? This is what we expect to be done, right? But you can always go above and beyond that. I even said it during the talk, like no auditor is going to be mad you went above the standard or above what they're asking for, right? They're not going to tell you you did bad, right? So like if they come in and they say your passwords have to be 6 characters, nobody's going to be mad if they're 12. Nobody's going to be mad if they're 16. They just want a minimum, right? So you can use those things to as kind of like a baseline and hammer your process against, or you can take other specialties, right? If you got a CTI analyst, and something that's in a policy, you know, is going to be adversely affected by what the CTI analyst knows to be true out there based on emerging threats, then you can change the policy. And the policy then still is in alignment with what's required, but you're securing the organization in a better manner because you're actually applying additional controls based on what you understand. It's just basically taking policy process and doing defense in depth with it. Every single step of the way, if you're including an attacker and a defender, even if they're not a standard one, even if it's not a pen tester and a SOC analyst, I mean, you're still going to be knocking it out of the park. You're still going to be a more secure organization for doing it.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Because, well, one of the things that it leads us to is having somebody represent each level of that defense in depth. What's your pain point, right? And you had, I love the way you had structured it in your presentation was Blue's got something to complain about all the time, basically, right? There's always something. Allowing that to come into the narrative, it's fundamentally changing an approach, right? Is that's what you were going for, I assume, but.
Right, yeah. So, you know, we all have complaints about work, right? Like there's nobody on the planet who's not gonna complain about work except for where I work. You're my boss, so I don't have any complaints. But like, you know, I think it's important that if the blue team's pain points are, hey, I'm supporting a 15-year-old server that I can't update because there's a problem with a production workflow that will break, take that very seriously. There's a difference between just like, I don't want to do that work or I'm upset about that work and a serious issue they're trying to raise to you. And if you keep beating them down about it, they're going to stop caring. So I think it's really important to not only listen to them, but you can take that and you can say, okay, this is on a production server. Now we start to build kind of a template for how we can threat model around this thing, right? Hey, like, where's it accessible from? Or you tabletop it. Where's it accessible from? Like, if somebody's on the outside and they get into this, how bad is it for the organization? Then you can start to kind of assign risk to it. Now you've got risk. You know it's a pain point for the blue team. They want it fixed. You can take that to the GRC team. They're going to look at it and go, that's a big problem. We want it fixed. And the more people you have on your side, you can explain to them why it's a risk, the more likely it's going to be to get fixed, because they're going to put the resources into it. And it may not cost you anything to do that. It may just take a CISO like you who listens when we come to you with issues, or it may just take a manager who's willing to take it seriously when you complain to them, right? Granted, again, you have to get through some of the noise sometimes, but ultimately, like, if you're taking those pain points, you're taking them seriously, and you're looking at them through the lens of an attacker, you're going to be in a much better spot to repair those things or know how risky they actually are, so that if you need to do things like build compensating controls, you know what that's going to take. You know what staff that's going to take, and you know how long it's going to take, and you know what the ultimate risk to the organization will be before you do it and after.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Last question, because I mean, we're basically doing the presentation now, which is awesome because I love it, is so as we approach this and now it becomes an ingestible part of the security program, right? In a lot of cases, these become similar to audit findings, right? Something, one, you want to bring attention to. Two, you've demonstrated a weakness or an element of vulnerability within an infrastructure. And two, well, here's an ability now to address it through the organization with, you know, a different perspective versus, you know, just me or you going to upper management and saying, hey, we need this fixed, right? There's a different context to it now. How impactful do you think that's going to be?
I think so. Some of the other questions that I got that I didn't mention earlier were surrounding like KPIs. What do I bring up? How do I format it, right? That's up to your organization. But what you're mentioning, like audit findings, like those are reportable things. You can go up to your senior leadership and basically build like a diagram and say like, hey, here's where we hit, here's where we miss. Is this important? Is it not, right? And they need to have that information to make an educated decision about security moving forward. I think it's the same thing. When you're walking away from a purple teaming event, or you're walking away from building out a purple teaming process, right? If you're not coming away with a way that you can report that up the chain and make somebody like an executive, a C-level, care about what you're coming out with, right? The one guy said, well, do I come and I tell them how many things I found or how many things I fixed? And I said, what do they want to hear? Sometimes executives only want to hear about how good we're doing. So they only want to hear like, I did a purple teaming, whatever, engagement, you know, event. I identified six things. We picked three as our top three. We fixed two of them. Cool. You fixed two of the most important things. That's all they care about. But maybe they want to hear about five things from each department, and they want to be the ones who decide how to prioritize them, right? I think if you formalize it and you look at it sort of like an audit, and you look at it as a way that you can have reportable, recordable, repeatable things that you can do, right? You're going to get a lot more out of it, especially at the senior leadership level. And you and I have talked about this a million times. I don't speak executive well. I'm learning. I'm trying really hard to learn. You're assisting me with that. But ultimately, because I don't know how to talk to an executive in a language that they understand, I have to shift what I'm providing to them in a way that makes sense to them, so that they can take my information and make the best decisions they can make with it. Because that's ultimately what my role is supposed to be. Repair what I can and what I can't, provide it so that they have all the cards on the table and they can make an educated choice whether the risk is acceptable or not.
100%. 100%. Phenomenal work. I mean, again, we'll make the link of the presentation obviously available through all of our socials. Again, great work. Congratulations. And a lot more to hear from Matt Everman in the future. So a name to keep in mind and a mind to keep in security. So well done, Matt. Thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, back at the booth, RSA 2024. Sir, your name, the company, and your role.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Jose Mena, Digital Twins Network. I am the founder of the company. We're a consulting company, and we consult for a company called Nebulosity Cloud. They own a really, really cool technology that's based on digital twin technology, and we have wrapped cybersecurity around it. And it encompasses AI, DL, ML, and neural networking. And what we do is we guard the unguarded space. So we our business model is we know that you will get breached. That's what we talk about and do all the time. And so once a company gets breached, the attackers enter this unguarded space. And because of our technology, we're able to see any behavioral anomalies that happen on the network. Think of it as an M&M, right? So everyone here at RSA, for the most part, are on the perimeter, we're on the inside of that M&M. If that M&M gets broken, then we see that happening, and we see the vibrations on the network, and we report on that. We also make SIMs much more efficient because we can use our technology and be able to report to those SIMs, making them alert of what's going on without them knowing that information. They're just looking for known traffic, right, or known attacks. So that's what we do.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Thank you.
So my baseline two questions. One, what were you looking to get out of RSA this year?
We are here to evangelize our message and get that in front of people. The product has been used in the past by, and it still is, by the DHS and DOD. The exclusivity on that ran out in September of 2023. And so now we're able to take this to the market, to the enterprise business. So that's the number one thing that we're looking to introduce our product and our folks to our digital twin. Active Sentinels is the product.
Wonderful. Active Sentinels. Fantastic. So what's the either the best thing that you've seen at RSA, or what are you most looking forward to?
So I'll give you this. What I've realized being here is how far behind we are as a market, right? So this product was developed 5 years ago for the government. And as I look around, there are very little to no products on this floor today at RSA 2024 that can do some of the things that we're doing.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. So does that give you more motivation that, one, you've got a technology to assist in this space, right? And two, there's huge upline opportunity to embrace the market. And let's say we get beyond the nice shell, as it were, and we get right into the chocolate of the M&M that you've mentioned.
Sure.
And we need it, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
Yeah. And you know, I think right now is a crucial time for us to start looking at different technologies. And that's really what we're here for, is to be able to help these companies, these CISOs, CISOs, and CIOs, to be able to introduce them to these new technologies and have them embrace them, right? And ask yourself a question. And we always ask our CISOs, CIOs, one question. Can you tell me right now, today, if there's a threat actor, or if there is somebody passive or aggressive inside of your network? 98% of the time, the answer is, I don't know. That's what we're here to help you with.
Wonderful. What a message. What a mission. Again, it's an honor, a privilege. Thank you so much.
Thank you so
great
much. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
The time.
Okay, we're back. Sir. Introduce yourself to our audience.
My name is Aaron Perkins, and I am the Director of Communications at CIS.
Aaron, great to see you here at RSA. Our first time really meeting in person, which is awesome. What is CIS's objective this year, do you think, at RSA?
So I think there are a few things. Number one, we are a nonprofit, so being that we are a nonprofit, we don't have some of the same deep pockets that other security-focused organizations might have. So when we can come to an environment like this and be present and get people thinking, CIS, yes, I remember them. Hey, I've used their controls. Hey, I've used their benchmarks. I was actually talking to someone today. He was a former CISO at a higher education institution in Australia. And he was like, you're CIS? I said, yes, we're from CIS. He's like, oh my gosh, I love you guys. He's like, as soon as I got there, they didn't have a security program. So he said, go to the CIS website. We're starting with the benchmarks.
Awesome.
It's so amazing.
Perfect.
And you know, I keep running into people like that. So the more we are at environments like this,
yes,
with people who are talking about security, we get to speak their language, that sort of thing. That, you know, most of them, many of them have already heard of us. They know a little bit of what we do. But I think that's one of the big focuses of us being here, is that awareness. Like, oh yeah, yeah, you guys, yes, yes, yes. Putting faces to the CIS brand, so to speak.
Wonderful, wonderful. What are you most looking forward to?
So I am an introvert. So I love getting to meet new people. So what I have done, I've kind of written out my list of the types of people or the specific companies I want to go talk to, potential partnerships, media opportunities, that sort of thing. So I think this is my first RSA, so I'm just over the moon. Just, it's huge, it's fun, and I'm really enjoying it so far.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Aaron. It's great to meet you.
You as well, Sean.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay, we're back at the booth, CIS 4319. Sir, your name and your role in your organization.
Sure, my name is Jonathan Curran, and I'm the CEO of Castile Defense.
John, so one of the things that I've often asked guests on the podcast is, what were you looking to get out of RSA this year?
This year, just trying to look at different types of innovation and technology, see what people are bringing to the table. I know AI is in the forefront. But I actually want to see somebody that's really executing artificial intelligence and tying it into the cybersecurity arena, and also trying to see what we can do from proactively from a threat hunting scenario, not just from a data analysis.
Wonderful, wonderful. So what is either the best thing you've done, the best thing you've seen, any new innovations that have got you excited while you've been here?
I'm still processing it. There is a lot of vendors out here.
Yes.
Eventually, I'll give a shout out to one that I believe that's behind. But there's just a lot of innovative technologies, people trying to leverage and start the AI integration piece of it. I think some of the people that go and leverage AI are just marketing. And it's kind of a static analysis. It's not something that's dynamic. But there are a few different products and solutions out here that I'm looking forward to.
Wonderful, wonderful. And we had a great chat yesterday of all the work that you're doing in your space. Anything you want to say about the work that you've been doing, or we'll keep that under wraps in the R&D development right now? Don't want to put you on the spot, but any thoughts that you have?
Sure. Yeah, just to kind of give you a general high overview, what we do is we actually run a legal counteroffensive against hackers, scammers, and also human trafficking. So we're actually going out and removing the bullies from the field, so you don't have to keep them protecting yourself with firewalls and switches, because it never solves the root cause for it. But working with proper legal authorities, and then from our playbooks, we're able to inline legality with the counteroffensive that we're running successfully. So I'm looking forward to sharing a lot of great stories, what we have, what we found, and what the bad guys are doing on the back end.
Wonderful, wonderful. Where can people find you and the work that you do?
Sure. You can find me at castiledefense.com. That's the primary contact. If you or somebody else has been hacked or scammed or hit by ransomware, we do everything pro bono. And really, we're collectively getting that intelligence and trying to be the light in the darkness. So right now, you can contact your local law enforcement. You work with the FBI, and we encourage that first. But if you don't get a foothold or traction, we'll pick up that slack and take on your case. And we'll also ask you if you end up wanting to be updated on your case file periodically, so you know that somebody's actively working on it.
Wonderful. Great work. Great to meet you again. And thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for your time.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Okay. Back at the booth. Your full name, your role at CIS, please.
Nick Rust, Director of Business Development.
Wonderful. Nick, what is CIS's objective this year at RSA?
Many objectives, certainly with a large team like we have here. Myself, in my role, I work very closely with our cloud service providers and with customers who are moving to the cloud. So my personal objective, first and foremost, was to be able to meet in person with as many people as possible who are kind of inside the remote worlds that we work with over the year, be able to connect in person. Secondly, to be able to learn a few new things. Coming here, there's a great opportunity to learn vendors, sessions, and then meet new people and expand the network.
Wonderful, wonderful. Nick, so it's, you know, we're halfway through day three, I'll say, on the official schedule, whatever that looks like. What's the best thing that you've seen, or what are you most looking forward to?
I had the opportunity this morning to attend a session with Tony Tony Sager and Phyllis Lee, talking about the controls and community defense model. And even though I work at CIS and I'm very familiar with it, it's always fascinating to see, number one, the public's reception to it, be able to hear Phyllis and Tony speak about it in their own words, and the impact over the journey here with certainly the community defense model and with CIS controls. Also had the opportunity to watch a few keynotes through the website remotely, so I was really impressed with Anthony Blinken, and obviously being able to see, you know, so many people across various industry and roles coming to RSA to talk about some of the current trends, some of the threats, some of the challenges, and some of the shared fate we all have. So really, obviously, the energy at RSA is palpable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nick, it's great talking to you. Again, fourth time now, I think, on the podcast. This is becoming a regular session for us. So again, great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Sean. And I am a listener avidly. I enjoy you and Tony. I enjoy all the guests that you brought on the podcast. Just like RSA, just keeps getting stronger. So keep up the great work.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, and we're back at the booth 4319. Sir, please introduce yourself, where you work, and your role.
Yeah, hi, I'm Ken Klesenek with Akamai Technology, and I manage the state and local government team for Akamai.
Wonderful. Ken, what are you most looking forward to at RSA this year?
Well, I think at RSA, what I love about it is connecting with partners, the people we work with, and then seeing all our customers. So it's a great opportunity for customers to network, to see what technology is new, and to be exposed to new technologies and new things that are out there.
Absolutely. Now, given that you're Akamai, you must be very busy with all of your customers here.
We are. We get a good showing here every year. It's definitely a great event. We're at booth 6070, so feel free to stop by and see us over there.
Wonderful, wonderful. Ken, what are you looking to get out of RSA this year?
You know, I think the same. It's kind of every year when you come, there's just so much new technology. It's overwhelming. And all the new security players, what they're doing, where people are fitting in, and how everything has kind of shifted over the last year, because it's constantly moving and evolving.
Wonderful. Well, Ken, thank you for everything you do, for everything Akamai does, and being a great partner and a great responsible leader in the cybersecurity space.
Well, thank you, and look forward to spending more time with you at the event.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ken.
Bye now.
Okay, we're back at the CIS booth, 4319. Sir, your name and what do you do at CIS?
My name is Jeff Sparks, and I am an account executive on the CIS services team.
Wonderful. So, Jeff, what is CIS's objective this year at RSA?
We just want to make sure that everyone is aware of what we do.
Yes, absolutely. Now, that comes in several forms, Jeff, right? We've got benchmarks, we've got controls, we've got hardened images. One of the things I think permeates the market, as it were, is the need to be able to create, start secure, end secure. Does that make sense?
We have to be a security evangelist.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. Jeff, is this your first time at RSA?
It is my first time.
Wonderful. What are you most looking forward to by being here?
You know, there's so many different companies here. There's so many different solutions here. There's so many different, you know, characters here. And I'm just anxious to see and meet as many as I can.
Wonderful. Jeff, thank you so much. Great to see you.
Thank you, Sean.
Okay, welcome back to booth 4319. Please introduce yourself to our audience and your role at CIS.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Mia Lovada. I'm a product manager here at the Center for Internet Security.
Wonderful. So Mia, what is CIS's objective being at RSA this year, do you think?
Multifaceted. We have a really great group here this week. Many speakers, including yourself, which I'm excited to see some of my colleagues get up on the stage. For me personally, my role focuses on the benchmarks, so the prescriptive guidance for specific technologies like operating systems, databases, cloud platforms, many more. What I get the most out of RSA is talking to our product vendor members. So it's the organizations that integrate the benchmarks for assessment, remediation, evidence collection, the unique, innovative ways that they take our best practice guidance and distribute it out to audiences that we may not serve really well. We focus on the underserved organizations, and we can't do everything while we may want to. We're small but mighty. So it's great to see some of our organizations, I won't say partners, product vendor members that that integrate the benchmarks, and I'm learning more about how they integrate the controls as well, some of the risk management platforms. And what's most important to me is supporting them. How do we better create the content with the technologies they're focused on and the formats that they need? Because their integration is our success.
Absolutely. And it becomes really a feedback loop, right, for us in order to improve and create new capabilities. So I see it as a reinforcement cycle of just getting better every day.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Mia, thank you so much. Great to see you, and enjoy the show.
Thank you so much, Sean. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Hello, we're back at the booth. Please introduce yourself and your role at CIS.
Michelle Mukshood, and I work for Hardin Images under the business development team.
Wonderful. Michelle, what is one of the objectives CIS has this year at RSA?
I think one of the biggest ones is expanding on the full tool set that we have. So not just focus on the household names of CIS benchmarks and controls, which are amazing, but also maybe focus more on other products such as the Hardin images that are available on all the CSPs, some of the stuff that the CIS services team does, which is amazing, as well as broaden our scope on talking about stuff that the MSISAC does, and pretty much evangelizing all those as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. What are you most looking forward to at RSA this year?
I think this year I'm most looking forward to learning. So most of the time I end up staying at the booth, but this time I have that full pass where I can actually go and talk to many of the other amazing organizations out here. So I'm looking to learn and understand what the biggest challenges are in cybersecurity today and see how we as CIS can help.
Wonderful. Now let's talk extracurricular activities. You've got a very interesting side gig. What is that?
Outside of CIS, one of my biggest passions is boxing, and living in upstate New York, which has an amazing boxing culture. I decided a year and a half ago that I wanted to get my license and become a USA Boxing official. So I officiate fights under USA Boxing. And I also work with a nonprofit gym in Schenectady, New York, where I not only spar and help other up-and-coming boxers, but I also give them tips on, you know, what judges are looking for.
Wonderful. That's amazing. And again, always giving back, Michelle. That's wonderful. Congratulations. That's really cool. What's the name of the organization?
It's called the Ring of Hope Boxing Club.
Boxing Club. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Michelle, as always, great to see you. Thank you so much, and continue all your great work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
As well.
And we're back at the booth. Sir, introduce yourself and your role at CIS.
Hi, Sean. Nice to see you today. My name is Rich McGraw, and I am part of the outbound sales team for SecureSuite.
Wonderful. So we're at RSA this year. What is CIS's objective this year at RSA?
Yeah, we're so happy to be here. The first day, the buzz is kind of building. Everyone's getting ready for the opening of the expo floor. And my objective here at RSA this year is to walk the floor and network with both our existing customers that are current members that we like to support and make sure they have everything they need, as well as find prospects in the form of other organizations that kind of have complementary technology that they can integrate CIS tech easily into what they do to kind of extend their offerings.
Definitely, definitely. Anything you're most excited about at RSA this year?
It's just great to see the team, bunch of, you know, old friends. You know, I've been doing these things for a while now, so you see some of the same people, and it's super exciting. There's always new tech that's exciting. And I always love seeing what our partners have done with innovation using our intellectual property.
Wonderful. Rich, great to see you as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for listening to the show today. The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS. If you're interested in learning more about how to grow your cybersecurity program, the free tools available to help you on your journey, or to get involved with the CIS volunteer community, visit our website, cisecurity.org. Start secure and stay secure.